one reason that you assemble is
establish.
Not only to establish, you know, to go and establish the pastor, but you are established, supposed to establish the neighbor, the saints that's with you, right? Establishing. Let's move on further. The reason for the saints to assemble here is not just to belong, to be believing in Christ. That's why we assemble. We assemble because we belong to the body of Christ. Amen? We assemble because, not because we believe only in Christ Jesus, but we assemble because we belong to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we assemble as the body of Christ, and we must say that, and we saints assemble together, saints are called to be number one. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Amen. So now you are a citizen in Christ's kingdom, but not only are you a citizen in the Christ kingdom, but you are now a member of a household of the kingdom of God. A member. You know, when you pay thousands of ringgit to become a member of a golf club, or even any clubs around here, or even a membership to get somebody, even nowadays the people pay a membership to get membership. All these are nothing. Because you are a member of the household of God. Amen.
Amen.
So when we are a member of a household of God, we must behave like a member of a household of God. We belong to the royalties. We are royalty people. People who are called to be royalties.
Amen.
Kings and princes and princesses. So we must behave like one. When we now go into the king's house, we tend to act like we are so king. No, when we go to the king's house, we are supposed to have some etiquette. So we go in front of the king's house, we see him, and after that, want to turn around back. Cannot. That is no, it's bad etiquette. So you must move behind like this. Where did they get this style from? It came from Jerusalem. From the temple of God. When you go to the temple of God in King Solomon's time, no man and woman is supposed to show their back towards the temple, the Holy of Holies. You saw what you saw just now there? Holy of Holies. When you go to the temple of Jerusalem, the temple that is in the center of Jerusalem, the place, the temple which where sacrifice was made, where the Holy of Holies is, people don't show their back towards the temple. They walk backwards. Those of you who came with me to Israel, you know the part where Jesus, the only place where they found, where Jesus sat down, the floor where Jesus walked and sat and preached. Why was it made rough? It's not that they cannot make smooth in it. It was made rough so that people do not rush back. Backwards. You're coming backwards. Hello? These are customs. Customs came from the Jews and no one else. Customs came from the chosen people of God. You and I are chosen people of God.
Amen.
You and I are chosen people of God. We belong to the household. We are member of the royalties.
Amen.
We are belong to the royalty family. Amen.
Amen.
So when we belong to the royalty family, we behave like royalties.
Yeah.
In the household of royalties, we must behave like royalties. You're not left behind. In a congregation like this, assembly of people like this, you're never left behind because you have a sense of belonging in the membership of the household of God.
Amen.
You and I, when we come together, assemble together, we are assembled here together, not because this person is here and I don't want to come here, or that person is there, I don't want to see the person. We are assembling in the rights of God, the same equal rights that everyone has got here. We are for the rights of the kingdom of God. And remember, whether you're male, female, young or old, it doesn't matter. You have the citizenship of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So when we have the citizenship in the kingdom of God, when he speaks to the Ephesian church, he did not speak by saying that what's happening. Members in the place in the church of Ephesians were having problems. They said, I don't want to see this man. I don't want to be that. Because this person is that. I don't want to be in this church. Jesus, when Paul is speaking, he's speaking from the wisdom of Christ Jesus. He's saying, you belong to the citizenship of Christ Jesus, kingdom of God. And you're a household, you're a member of the household of the kingdom of God. So when we assemble with righteousness. to church, when you come to the building where we assemble, the place that we assemble, not because you're coming there because the pastor is there, you want to please the pastor, you can come there to the church wherever we assemble because we have the right to assemble. It's not like what is it? Amen. Praise God. So we belong to a group, a membership of people, of royalties. Membership. So membership in the church is not just signing up and telling it's a piece of paper. It's more than a piece of paper. It requires something out of us. It requires something out of us. When you are a member of a royalty family, you require something out of you. You must have the etiquette. You must have moral following certain things in the household. Man. When we turn our back to a brother who is in need or in trouble, who needs stabilizing, we are turning back to the Holy of Holies. Hello? We are turning our back to the Holy of Holies. The temple of God is also beside us. One temple in Jerusalem is now broken into many temples all over the world. Whoever calls the name of Jesus Christ carries the temple in themselves. Amen. Amen. So when we turn our back to one more person who believes in Christ Jesus, we are sending away the Holy of Holies. Membership. That's a requirement that we have in our lives. The way of Christians assembling without saints is not called assembly. Without members of the body of Christ with you, and you assemble only with your family, is not called the body of Christ. The saints of the neighborhood must be with you. That's called the household of God. Amen. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And encourage you. What was he saying? He said just now we talk about encouragement. So we are now encouragers. Say it after me. I am an encourager.
I am
a stabilizer. I belong to the kingdom of God. A member of the household of God. And I am an encourager. I've taken the position of an encourager. I will turn to my left, to my right, and my back, and my front, and I will see anybody needs encouragement in the assembly of God. The last one is easy. When I turn to my neighbor, whether to the left or right, the front or the back,
I become a
stabilizer. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Welcome to the position of a person who not only stabilize people but encourager. Amen. In the book of God, book of Acts, one man is called an encourager. Who's the man? Alright, good. Very fast.
3 points.
Yeah, we need it.
Huh? I'll buy you a cup of coffee, of course. Barnabas is called an encourager. Right? We need Barnabas around us. We have to be a Barnabas. So that we can see Barnabas is around. Encourager. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Can we read again? Can we read again? And send, verse 2, and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you. Oh, that's great. Encourage you concerning your faith. Praise the Lord. The second position you take in the assembly is an encourager. Hello? Encouraging. What is an encouragement? Just now it's stabilizer. Encouragement. How do you encourage? Hello?
Lift up that person.
Lift up the person. What is an encourager? You may come to this church. I find encouragers in the person who stands at the door. I find the person who sits with the children in the children's ministry. I find the person of encourager in the church when somebody has done something and you find that although it's not perfect, they go and say, "You're doing well." That's an encourager. We assemble together not only to come and stabilize people, we become encouragers. The similar word of encourage, you'll find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Exhorting one another. Did you know that? Where is that? Do you have it here? Where is the poster and stuff you have?
Yeah.
The banner? Bring it out. Don't keep it. Don't hide it. Okay. Together as in the manner of saying some, but exhorting one another. The word encourager is exhorter. Exhorting one another. Uplifting one another. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. What it is called today, just now we talked about the day. The day. The day. We are waiting for the day. Remember, just now we talked about, this morning we talked about the day. But now he says today. When you can't fulfill today, you can't fulfill tomorrow. It's today. Don't wait for 10 days later and say, exalt the person. It's today. Unless you exalt the person at this time, at this moment, then you have ended the season. How many of us have all the time at least we want to say thank you to somebody, we want to tell a person well done to somebody, and we never did it. We said, I see the person next time, I'll do it. 1 week later, the steam is already gone. That person doesn't need that exaltation at that time. At that point of time, the person could be just doing something and somebody said, what you think is wrong. And when you go around and say, keep it up, you're getting that. You're exalting the person. The assembly is not just a mere assembly. Gossip, have some coffees and teas and all those things. It's not about assembling, about having coffee and meals, but it's assembling so that the people of God, the saints of God, can be equipped. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, we need that exaltation. If you don't exalt today, the person who is now going through some kind of problem into sin or temptation and lose heart of the day, you miss it. The person who has been hardened into the sin nature. That's today. This urgency is today. Every day is today for us. We live the day, not yesterday. There used to be a nice word, you know, those of you who are in the sales and all the, you know, yesterday is what check? A cash check. A check where there is cash. Today is a current check. Tomorrow is the postage check. So yesterday is already cashed out, used up already. Today is still current check, you still have got money in hand. Tomorrow, I don't know whether the check will be available or not. When you go to the stamp, you go to the bank, you'll see whether it'll come out at rubber stamp or not. It bounces. We do not know. We do not know whether tomorrow's check we can cash or not, we can carry it to the bank or not. But today's check, we can still enjoy today. Amen? Amen? I'm sure all of you who are in the sales job will know that. They always repeat that. No, yesterday is gone. Today's sale is the best. Because today we get the right sale and we are living on today's right on game. And tomorrow, don't talk about tomorrow, you'll talk about today. Right? So yesterday is gone. Let's not live in the past. Yesterday, pastor would have hurt you. I would have hurt you. It's gone. What is fault is fault. In a Tamil word proverb, they say, you put one small drop of poison into milk or iodine, what happens? The whole milk turns color. Just one drop. It's done. If you have already got, you are boiling rice, suddenly in the hurry of talking and some, you have something to gossip to somebody and the phone call is still waiting, already hold on, I'll put the rice and come back to the thing. You can pour water and come out and listen to me. Suddenly you go back and check, it's no more rice, it becomes porridge. It's already done. How many times have you, sisters or brothers, you know, you already put something on the stove and you go there and make phone calls and you're busy, you forgot about it, and suddenly you come out, I smell something. My neighbor's house burning. Go back to your kitchen. It's burnt rice. Burnt curry. Yeah. It's experience. So when it's done, done, gone. Take it and throw it away. Don't live on yesterday. Live on today. That's what God is telling us today. Live on today. Today's current check. We've got cash now. Live while the cash is still with you. Tomorrow you cannot use the cash. Mana was, God is a good scientist, you know. The best scientist you can ever find is mana. Mana, he says, you cannot accumulate for tomorrow. And cannot give. What you get once in the morning, that's what you eat the day. You cannot take excessive for yourself. Eat what you get in the day, you cannot keep. The next day will become worm. Maggots will be moving around. How many have eaten maggots? The Eskimos live in it. And live by it. Right? Because one of them, how many have eaten moving cheese? Moving cheese? We must visit Ireland. The Irish like moving cheese. It's a fermented candy for a while. It's moving, then we eat. Very nice. Better than whiskey. So don't eat the one tomorrow. Don't keep for tomorrow. Mana is today. God is a God of freshness. God is not a God of stillness. If we are a God of stillness, we have got a God of stillness, then we have a problem, my friends and brothers and sisters. If God still remembers yesterday, I'm sorry, today I'll have a lot of problems. I believe God has forgotten yesterday when I went, Lord, forgive me. He's forgotten. Yesterday is gone, today is new.
Amen.
When you're in the newness, daily becomes newness. The only way a man and a woman in this world, as a Christian, assemble, as saints as we assemble, we can live today. The only way we can live is be like godly. That's why I told you, be godly like. Encourage. Encourage. Somebody needs encouragement. Encourage. It's not about what's done. It's about what freshness today. And today is the day. The last, the least you can expect of today, something will happen. Because we still live in the memory of the past. You will still be holding back. Every time you remember this, I pray for people. Sometimes I see chains in their neck. I see chains on their leg. Why? The past is holding them backwards, pulling them backwards. And they move one step, the past is pulling them two steps back. I'm not saying in a physical form, in the spiritual sense, that you will still go back in the past. You will never see the breakthrough if you still live in the past. A breakthrough comes every day to God. God gives you a season, and season is fresh. God doesn't give the same winter as the same as this year. We have to move on. We have to move on. Be an encourager. If you don't encourage, you don't encourage somebody else, you are still living in the past. God is God who doesn't change. To encourage is to exhort somebody. You see somebody, come and tell them, you look handsome today. Encourage the person. Probably the day the person's gone down, the moral of the person has gone down, and encourage. There could be a failure in the family, in anything they do. They find that they have not come to that mark. Every one of us got a mark. I have a benchmark for my sons. I'm trying to change that. I have a benchmark. This is the quality I want. That's what we wrong. Because there is a benchmark for every one of us. God has provided. Not man provides. I'm still struggling with that, brothers and sisters. I'm also a human being. And I struggle and tell my children, this is what I wanted. They'll do it. They'll do it. Never mind. Go on. Because we have an benchmark for others. When we have benchmark for others, we are always measured by a benchmark. God measures us the way you measure others. If you use a yardstick, God will use a yardstick. If you use a stick, the latest contractor's tape, He'll measure you by the contractor's tape. If you use the same tape of not tailoring, God will use the same. Praise God. Assembling together as a body of Christ to exhort one another. Positioning ourselves to be an exhorter. Exhorter. Not a person to see everything negatively. Not a person to see something negatively. But be exhorter. I know a day will come that you will be there. I know tomorrow you will be alright. I know today you will be alright. I know that is something. You're getting there. Work in a little space. Sometimes the space that we give others is too narrow, too much. Are we an exhorter? But when we come, God, I exhort you. Jesus, I exhort you. But when we assemble, we don't have the exhortation for each other. Amen. Praise God. God wants us to walk up and exhort one another. Second position, the assembling, is to position yourself as an exhorter. Not only exhorting God, exhorting each other. Assembling together to exhort one another. When you say, just now, brother, I'm blessed. Jesus massages me. I'm massaging you. Because what blessings you get, you exhort another person what you get. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. This one I need. Is that enough time, brother? How much time do I have? How much time do I have? I just finished one last one, okay? Then after that we should go off. We'll see the news. I hope whatever it is today, we have to move on. You want to see a breakthrough? How many of you want to see a breakthrough? How many of you came here with a breakthrough mind? How many want a breakthrough in your life? How many of you really want a breakthrough in your life? If you really want a breakthrough in your life in any area, doesn't matter, God will give it to you. God will give it to you. I'm telling you this today. Otherwise, my fasting and the people who fasted with me is wrong. God has been good to us.
Amen.
God has been good to us.
Amen.
God will be good to us.
Amen.
God will make a breakthrough. Change the attitude first.
Amen.
The attitude of yourself will change, so the attitude will be measured. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Unless the attitude changes, you cannot raise to the attitude of God. God has got something in us for us. God has got something in store for us today.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The third thing, the third position God is calling you. Let's read from 1 Thessalonians, verse 6 onwards. 1 Thessalonians, verse 6 onwards. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 onwards. In any area of our life, let's not look at each other. Let's look at ourselves. I've learned that lesson. The day I learned to look at myself, I've learned to change. If I don't change, then I'm going to go to where I'm supposed to go, 6 feet underground, with the same attitude. We are a changed person. From glory to glory, God will take us.
Amen.
from glory to glory. The Word of God says, I will take you from glory to glory. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. If it is from James, you don't believe it. It's from God. So we believe in a God who gives you from glory to glory. I'm so blessed not to see whenever I read Isaiah, and he says that I saw the glory of God in like trails. How blessed is this man could see the glory of God? He's so blessed. So are we today. He was blessed to see, but we are blessed to receive it. Amen. You can see, but you don't touch. Now we can touch it, though we might not see. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's read from verse 6 onwards. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith. Wow. Wonderful. You see, this Thessalonica church, when Timothy came and he's worked around, and he continues now and says, when Timothy came back to us and tell us, your faith has changed. From faith to faith, he will raise us up. Amen. Amen. From faith to faith, he will raise us up. Amen. Because why? One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. If you don't ask for faith, God does not give you. God believes that you have got faith because we have got arrogance in our body. And I said, I don't have faith, Lord. I have to go out every day and tell him, Lord, increase my faith. Only you can increase, not I can increase. Amen. The faith has got increased. The works of the saints will increase the faith of another person. The works of yours, the testimony of yours will increase the faith of another person. A testimony, a small testimony, will increase the faith of another person. And I know today, God is now rebuking everything of which is of the old. God is now today saying, wherever you have been barren, barrenness will go away from today onwards. Amen. Amen. Every area you're barren in. You're barren in your mentality. You're barren in the things that God has been waiting for. You're barren in the things that you've been waiting in your life. You're barren. Didn't work out. You're barren. Not in your womb. Not in the things of the barren of your womb. But you're barren in areas that you are not working in your life. God is saying today, He's going to do something today for you. God is going to do something today for you. Every barrenness in your business. Every barrenness in your working place. Every barrenness that you've been waiting for. Every barrenness you want to break. Everything that has been hard has been waiting for. She said, look, and yeah, she has got a womb. Baby, I don't have a child. And she cried out like a woman who said that when Eli saw her. And she said, oh, you are a woman of drunkenness. Don't be drunken in the temple of God. And she said, I'm not drunk. Today, can you meet Hannah and tell Hannah, I'm better off than you. I'm much more drunken than she was. My prayers, my desire is greater than Hannah's. Amen. And 1 Samuel, Hannah cried out in the temple for the barrenness. And barrenness was broken. And God is speaking to me now. Somebody, somewhere in this place, is going to break barrenness today. Amen. Praise God. Verse 6 says, brought us together. Your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live. If I stand fast in the Lord, how do you stand fast in the Lord? How do you and I stand fast in the Lord? How can a man and a woman stand fast in the Lord if we do not know the Word of God? How can you and I stand fast in the Lord if we do not know the works of God? How can you and I stand fast in the Lord to live a life which is enjoyable, which is full, fulfilled, if we do not know the Spirit of God? In order for us to be standing fast in the Lord, we have to be equipped. Number 3 position is willingness to be equipped. We assemble here to equip each other. We can only stand fast unless we are equipped. If you don't have ammunition, you cannot stand fast. A soldier which goes in front, a man or commander who goes in front to fight, if he does not have the ammunition, you cannot shoot. You cannot stand fast. When I say stand fast, you know where to stand. And you know, don't want to get out of the position you are standing in. The position that you are standing in must be standing strong. In order for us to stand strong, we need the Lord. And when we want to meet the Lord, somebody must teach us about the Lord. The church assembles together. That assembly must teach each other. It's not only the pastor. It's not a teacher. It's the assembly. It's the job of yourself. It's the job of every one of us, a Christian, who assembles here as a saint, that you bring are responsible for the people you bring in, that you teach them. If that works today, if that is what the requirement of Thessalonica church, that is why Paul can say, I am so pleased. I am so pleased with your faith and the love that you have. I'm so blessed, he can say. Not only please, he says, I'm so blessed by the faith that you have. I'm so blessed today, Paul, as a man who exhorted them, who taught them. I'm so blessed today, the love that you're showing to each other. I'm so blessed today that the things that works that you're doing is good works. And you stand fast. Because there was an equipment of equipping them. Paul equipped them. He could not go. He sent him to equip them. Somebody must equip somebody. Somebody must provide ammunition for somebody, the soldier in the front. Who's going to provide? If all of us are standing in a row and we are facing the enemy, we are all commandos. One has got 50 bullets left. Another one has got 10 rolls. Each roll is about 100. 144, if I'm mistaken. 12 dozen. Is that right, brothers? Who was in army before? 12 dozens. 144. Right?
Right.
Say, assuming it's four, he's got three rolls of that. Another person has got only 10 bullets. Another person has got 20. We are standing here. Who's supposed to equip? We can't turn back. We are standing fast in our position. We have taken a position. We cannot give up this position, because this position God has given us. He has appointed you. He has called you to be in this position. You cannot turn back. Who is going to equip? The brother who's got that 144 times 3, he will equip us. Hello, do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? If you're standing, all of us are standing in a row. We are in the front row. We are commandos. We are standing in front. Suddenly my ammunition is going out. And somebody standing beside me, his ammunition is going out. He's got 10, I've got 5. Somebody out there has got 3 rolls. They call it, I don't know, I forgot the name for that. There's a name for it, no? Rolls, it's not rolls, some other names. Then I don't remember, there's one name. And each roll has got 144 bullets.
Magazines,
right. It's got 144 multiplied by 3. He can equip us, all of us, 10 inches, right? So the person who's got standing beside us will equip us. It's a duty of an assembly of saints together to equip one another. To equip one another. We cannot turn back. We cannot turn to anywhere else behind. Our position is appointed. So we stand here and I receive it from my brothers, so that we can move forward into the territory. Amen?
Amen.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you see my picture? Get a picture?
Yeah.
Get a picture and see yourself all standing, all of us standing in the room?
Yeah.
And all of us are running out of bullets. There's one person who's got 144 times by 3. My math is not working now. Slowly. 300? 400. 34. So there's 400 bullets there. Can it help us out, each one, 5 bullets? Surely will out. So somebody must equip us. It's not a man who's standing in front of you, the general behind you, and saying, oh, you're a pastor, you're a colonel, or whatever it is, you're an elder, you're a deacon. Brothers and sisters, it's a responsibility of the saints assembled together to educate one another. Because why? Why do I say that? Because we belong to a membership of the household of God. We are belonging to a membership of the household of God. And before that, he said, before becoming a membership of the household of God, you are a citizen in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. Amen? Does it sense to you now? So position number 3 you have to take tonight, you come and assemble together, is together to equip. To equip Unless you start equipping people, we cannot be standing in the firewood, in the firefront. We are the front lines. We are going forward as commandos. We have to equip each other. When you have the Bible quiz, you have the four groups. And the four groups got together. Each one had their own group. When there was a problem solved, sent to you, what did you all do? Tell me, what did you all do? You discussed first. You helped each other. No, this is not right. This is right. This is right. I think this is wrong. I heard it this way. And let's see, your line is right. Run well. Is that right? That's how we're supposed to work. Educating one another. Equipping one another. Unless you equip one another, the Spirit of God cannot move into you to work in you and work in you and enhance you so that you will have supernatural powers to equip each other. Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't, you are still waiting for dole. You know what's dole, isn't it? If you're waiting for dole every month, every weekly, you go to the government and say, I'm unemployed, not in Malaysia, but in countries like England and a couple of countries, they have this dole system where when you're employed, you can go to the government and ask for, you say you're unemployed, you show them, and they give you money every month, every week. If you still live on dole, there's no way you can extend your muscles and strengthen your muscle. Hello? We cannot live on dole. We have to extend our muscles and stretch our muscles. Stretch our muscles. Only then we can have the strength. If you're waiting there, only one hand will go up. Give me. Then take it out and put it in your pocket. And go out and spend it. Sitting down. Not standing up. Our muscles doesn't work that way. Our muscle from the head, the crown of the head to the sole of it, has got to work. Totally. That is why I've got one big rounded belly out there. Some muscles not working. Because I'm not working. So if you blame that, you know, physically look at the natural, look at the supernatural. If you don't work out these muscles, it's going to be a bigger belly. We have to work out the muscles of equipping one another. Standing fast. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. Can somebody read down loud, please? Romans 5. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. For we have many members. Romans 12. Can quickly read somewhere, somebody read out very loud.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another.
Man. Let's not go on to the further things, because everything you read further, you say, oh, I must wait to become a prophet, I must wait to become a teacher, I must wait to become an apostle, a pastor, then you work. No, stop there, let's see how. Those are offices given when you are acting in the member of assembly of God. When you are using your muscles among yourself, when you start using in the member of body, in the body as we come together, as we do our work, when your muscles are strong, and God knows that you are strong, and God will give you much more energy so that you can be called to be a prophet, you can be called to be an apostle, you can be called to be a pastor, you can be called to be a teacher, you can be called to be an evangelist. You cannot call ourselves evangelists or masters just like that overnight. The members must start working. If you don't assemble and do the needful first, you can't rise up to the appointment of what the office of God is all about. Amen? Some of you are employees. When you employ somebody, do you straight away employ him as the CEO of the company? When you are the CEO? Oh, come. James, you take over my position. Ah, okay, I go on. I employ you. I go on. No. It's the employment comes from where you are, the bottom. You work among the people. And then the majority of the people in the clerical or the other services, you work with them first. Then you go up to another ladder, which is a smaller ladder, a smaller group of people. Then you can manage this smaller group of people. Then you go up higher to another smaller group of people. You work in small, because you know how to handle the largest group. Do you see the steps? You go up to the top. Unless you work with the people, unless you work with the saints, you will not know how to work with the cream of the creams. Unless you know how to be a steward of the thing God has given, the little things, you cannot be a steward of the majority. So God has got to work out something in our lives. All of us are part of it. One of you can be a teacher. One of you can be handling the children's ministry. Some of you can handle the worship ministry. Somebody can handle this or that. But all this happens because somebody is willing to come and see the things that's happening around them in their life. Why? Because God wants us to receive the things that we have. Verse 8. We now live what? When you say live, that is life, isn't that right? When we live, we don't live like a dead person sitting down there one place. That's not living. I told you when my business world time is, we do not exist by live our life. We do not exist in a life. Do not exist in life, but live your life. That was my motto. Do not exist in life, but live your life. When you live your life, means you know everything else. When you have got enjoyment, you can enjoy. But you know your limitation in enjoyment. You know your limitation, how far your border can go. God knows, and you know. As the sons and daughters of the household, of God, you will know your limitations. You know how much the border is for you. You must live. God didn't call us to stand in God. We stand firm in God just to be like this. I'm holding out doubt. I don't see the light. I don't see the light. No. Every day looking like that. Oh, pastor said no. The gospel says we are Christians. No. We cannot look like that. We cannot look this side. We cannot look up. We cannot look down. Look straight. Jesus said no. You must focus on me. Set my eyes on me. Don't set on our neighbors. If that is life, that's not what God meant for us. He will not have created a beautiful plants, flowers, a beautiful beach outside there. Hello? He will not have got somebody to invest the money to have this hotel around here. So they can come and now, I like my room. But I didn't get a chance to sleep last night. I wish I can go to the side there, I see the pillow there, wow, very nice. Sit down, ready, can... orange juice, fresh orange. Wow, it's nice. To live life is not to say everything is sinful. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you to come and live in this luxury hotel? Are you sinful to God? Who told you that? Where do you find the Bible? God says, I produce everything and I create everything for you to enjoy. Right, man? God created man, and man was created, and after that he was born, he created a woman. He created a woman, not many women. Hello? He created a woman. My English is correct. Since I belong to the member of the royalties of the house, of the royalties of the house of God, I believe that grammar is right. Woman. Right now. And same way, when he created the woman, he came out from a man. A man. His name starts with A also. That is your word. Every time you see something passing by, that is the language of the world. But God created A first. A. One. One. You know your limitations, where it should go, where it should not go. You know your limitations in your alcohols. Did God even say don't drink? Tell me if God says that don't drink. Timothy was advised to drink wine every day for the good of his stomach. Indigestion problem. He can't go to the toilet. God also created that. No, what he also must go out, no. You cannot keep too much. You keep too much, contaminated. Contamination not only stands there, it goes to every part of the body. And then don't think right. Suddenly you walk sideways. God has got to do something with our body. God is the best. He is the best. Amen? We have to have rights. And even then he says that kingly people is not right, man. Proverbs, what does Proverbs say? What did Lemuel's mother say to Lemuel? Let's turn to Proverbs 31. 31. Lemuel! Beware! Is there anywhere Proverbs saying that don't smoke? Because that was not there at the time. People lived a healthy life. Was there drugs? No. It was not there. There's no Proverbs for drugs. But there's Proverbs of intoxication. The leaves that they chew, but it's not in excessive. It's only for the herbs for the healing. Right? Was there massage parlors? There's one below our church, no? We have to pray them out, no? Brother Joseph Chia. We have to go and blow them out. Who is the shofar? Yes. Brother Brian, better start blowing out to blow the shofar. We have got to blow them out because the management just changed last month, this month. The old one cannot maintain. They have changed now the management. We have to blow them out. Yes. We blew out the black hole.
Amen.
So we have to blow them out. 4 o'clock in the morning, God is going to tell us, walk now, warriors. Army of God, rise up and walk and blow these guys out. Man. Alright, praise God. That's a commitment from Brother Cha. You'll stay back until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Keep blowing.
Keep blowing. Amen. Praise God. It was not there. What does it say about that? Intoxication. Oh, are you there in Proverbs?
Yes.
Hey, man is not what? For the king. What does he say? What is not good for the king? Decisions made or not be right. The beginning of the Proverbs, brother. Yeah. So kingly people know how to adjust. Hello? Hello? Can you all look up here? Kingly people know how to adjust. So we have to walk in the life. We have to live a life, not be existent. And when we exist, no others know about our life, our Christian life. No. If we exist, the nature of God shall not be exhibited unto others. When we assemble, we're supposed to equip one another. We're equipping one another so that we can stand fast in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 9. I'll finish very fast, okay? No way. Overtime. Work overtime. God tells you to work overtime, no choice. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Night and day break exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith, amen, equipping another, lacking in one of them, so that our faith can be perfected, so we have to equip one another. Only then when we equip, we can stand fast in our faith, so that we can rise up as an assembly of God, assembly of the people of saints of God. Amen? And when he said that, he also said about thanksgiving. How thankful are we to our neighbor, our saints next to us, that they have come and helped us out in our life to equip us. Thankfulness is one of the things that God looks for. When you testify to God and say, God, I thank you for what you've done in our life, it's thankfulness to him and thankful to the saints that we surround you. Paul is exalting them, and telling, I'm thankful to you. And I'm thankful for your faith. If there's any lacking, I want to come and see you face to face, that I can edify you, to lift you up, to equip you, so you can stand, or withstand everything that is coming in your life, that you can stand in the name of God and with God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So what is the position number one God gave us? To establish, to be a position of establisher,
encourager,
equip, to exalt, to equip each other, to equip each other, encourages and exalting, to equip. Three. We assemble here today for what? To equip each other, to exalt each other, and also. Can you all read this together?
Approaching.
Amen. Praise God. If you are taking the Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25 and read that from there also. Alright? It's not made by somebody in the church. It's from the Bible. For the church. For the assembly of God. Assembly of the saints. We are assembling ourselves, not forsaking the good works. Stir up love and good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. You can have good works, you can do everything else in the world, but if you don't assemble, it doesn't work. Assembling is positioning ourselves for the blessings of God. The seasons of those days are gone. You want to go into enter a new season, you have to let go of the old and come into the new. You cannot bring back the old one into the new wineskin. You cannot pour old wine into new wineskin. You have to pour new wine into new wineskin. That is the reason why Jesus said that. Have you tried that pouring out? It was so that I researched. Why Jesus said this? It's because normally actually you put new wineskin with new wine. If you put an old wine which is fermented for some time, it cannot stand. The new wineskin cannot stand it. Neither can you pour a new wine into an old wineskin. It cannot stand it. So God is speaking to us. In order for us to break through, I want you, brothers and sisters, by tonight, change. I want you to have a time, private time. I want you to go and have your private time. Seek God. Where is that I have to change before I change others? It's either you can be a butterfly around here, buzzing around, or you can be an assembly of God, a person who goes to one corner and sits down and says, no, I don't want. We have to assemble together as one church. The assembly of God, assembly of the people of God, is to uphold one another. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is good. You're a God of perfect. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10, you say you're perfect. In perfection that we shall come. And verse 11 says that you're abound, we will abound. Abound is not a thing that, which is, there is nothing that you can increase in you. God will seek something tonight. God will ask the Lord, something will happen in our lives today. That we can become blameless, a heart of blameless and holy, as in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That our heart will be blameless and holy. God, we want to equip to be blameless and to be holy. That He will purify us. That we can be separated from the worldly thinking. As in 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. That we are not of the world. But we belong to the kingdom. Of your kingdom. For we are citizens of your kingdom. And we assemble with authority. We assemble as in a family. With all the rights. When we assemble. We know our rights. In every assembly we assemble. For we are a member of your household, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll change us today. Change us, Lord, today. That we will have a difference. That we will have a breakthrough in our lives. We'll have breakthrough in our breakthroughs in our life. There shall be no more nothing of witchcraft in our lives. There's no more idolism in our life. There is no more thing that holds on into our heart, in our mind. We break it today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We break everything that holds on, that we cling on to in the world. God, everything that we be clinging on is things of the world, Lord. Unless I empty myself, I cannot see the kingdom of God. I cannot enter the kingdom of God with everything that I have in the world. I pray, Lord, today. I seek for a breakthrough today. Yes. Spirit of God, I seek for a breakthrough today. Yes. Deal with us tonight. Deal with us. Help us to step into the new season. Help us to step into the open heavens. Help us to step into the promise of yourself. That every barrenness that has been in our life will be broken today. And we will go into freedom and to be fruitful. In our lives. Not before we want to be fruitful. You want us to empty ourselves, Lord. There is no man in the world or no woman in the world who goes after the things of the mammon will be able to serve the master. But we want to thank you, Lord. What is our mammon in our life? Help us to see what is our mammon. Everything that we are serving, if it is anger, and we have put a barrier around us as anger that people cannot penetrate to us. If we have created a barrier around us of fear that people are fearful of approaching us. Lord, if there is a barrier around us, Father God, that makes us not to break every walls, make it happen today, Lord. If there is a barrier in our hearts of pride, arrogance, Lord, you will never work with it, Lord. We pray today, even before tonight we assemble as saints, pray today, Lord, that we have the joy of yourself, and in the joy of yourself in our heart and the peace in our mind, we can look forward for a breakthrough. For when Eli said, go, Hannah, and as your prayers, God will answer your prayer. So shall it be tonight, Father. As we cry tonight and enter into a new season, as Hannah has cried, we join together tonight with her to break every barrenness and to go into the joyfulness of God. We thank you, Father, that you are able and you are capable and you are willing to do it. Help us, Lord, tonight. That we'll have a breakthrough today. We'll never be the same.